Hi, everyone. I'm so excited today about our guest and what I might learn about a lot of things that I am interested in, but only know basic knowledge. Her name is Suraya Leonora. Close, I hope. Did I pronounce it right?
Suraya Leonora, you've got it.
Good. And she is a holistic sex and relationship coach based in Asheville, North Carolina, right?
That's right.
Good. I have a daughter in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh,
And
lovely.
yeah, I'll have to let her know about you because she's into a lot of the things we're going to talk to, and she's a counselor. Soraya, you know, you came into this work through what many would call a dark night of the soul. And I'm familiar with that myself. You went through yours at age 21. I was 40. And my dark night of the soul ended up with me going to rehab. Okay. So I actually have, let's see if I get this straight now. I think 34 years sober.
Wow,
But
congratulations.
yes. And the thing about that is, if I didn't get sober and I kept self-medicating, I would never discover the things that I did discover. You know, because I was
Exactly.
asleep. I was asleep. So
Right.
you're a strong believer that the greatest challenges are really our most valuable gifts. And again, I agree with you there. my first book is Raised by Wolves, Trapped by Demons. And wolves were my parents and the demons were the men. And then later on, I found out the demons also were in me. Okay. And that was my journey. So I kind of relate to you just by your background, but what would you like to start with? What would you like to talk about first? I mean, we have so much we could talk about, chakras and meditation and empowerment. Where would you like to start?
Well, I know you said that it would be great for us to get into some topics that pertain to women especially. And, you know, I think there's some really potent topics around that in the realms that I work in. So I guess some of those that I see come up really often is issues around boundaries, people pleasing, feeling like we can respect and honor our bodies and listen to their messages. I think that's a really important topic to get into as women, and also how that pertains to our sexuality. I think even as even a lot of women who have done a lot of self-work can sometimes still have a missing gap around feeling sexually empowered and like they can express their needs and desires and draw boundaries and listen to their bodies and take up the space that they need in the realm of sexuality. So I think that whole umbrella is a really fascinating territory to get into.
It is. And I know for myself that my sexuality when I drank was totally different from when I got sober.
Oh, yes.
Yes, because drinking took away any inhibitions, you know. And also, I think when I got sober, there was a lot being uncovered. You know, I was in counseling for the first 9 years of sobriety. So I had a lot of work I was doing. And so, yeah, I think that's a good topic. And what do you think stifles or mutes a woman's sexuality? If that makes sense, the question.
I love this question.
Okay.
I think a lot of things can do that. You know, sexual energy is what we're made out of. It's how we were created. It's how we all got here. And so its natural state is to flow through us and bring us this vitality and this delicious connection with our bodies, our senses, our aliveness. But as we go through different traumas or religious programming, negative experiences, conditioning, as we turn ourselves off in some way, whether that's stuffing down our voice, stuffing down our emotions, all of these things can start to clog the pipes and make it so that we can't run that sexual energy effectively. If we're in burnout, if we're pushing too hard, doing too much, demanding too much of our bodies, that will stuff our sexual energy down. If we've not been in the habit of listening to our bodies and drawing boundaries and, you know, facilitating a space that our body can trust us, to honor her in the way we navigate our sexuality. Sometimes our bodies will start speaking out through things like pain during sex or low libido. And so all of these things can tie into this. And I think what's really important to realize is that we actually have a lot of choice in how our sexual energy is running through us. A lot of women think, oh, I just have low libido. But our libido is very contextual, and there's a lot we can do to kind of turn up the brightness on it or dim it down.
I want to turn mine up because like it, this has been going on for a while now, because after I got sober, they told me that I actually had chronic depression and anxiety disorder. And of course they put me on medication for it. And that's why I was self-medicating with alcohol. That was part of it. But I think those medications also affected the libido, right?
Yes,
and then I, you know, went to the change of life, and then I had a total hysterectomy. I had breast cancer where they did a double mastectomy, and I tried implants. They didn't work. So basically, I'm not in love with the way my body looks. If you know what I mean, there's a lot of scars, there's missing parts. And I turned 75, which that doesn't mean that I shouldn't still have a sex drive, but I don't. And but I'm like, I'm affectionate, you know, cuddle and everything. So what do you think about the fact that medications are given out so freely? I think more than they need to be, as far as antidepressants. What do you think about that?
I would totally agree with that. I really think that a lot of times depression is a result of the spirit being depressed in some way, being out of alignment, not living our most authentic lives. I think hormonal imbalance can play into it. I think gut imbalance can play into it. And I think a lot of times these medications are used as a band-aid to mask a symptom rather than treating the root.
Yeah, I have to write another book about my health journey, because it's amazing how many parts I don't have anymore. It's crazy. And I'm going through a new thing right now, which I'll find out Monday, a final diagnosis. And it's actually called pulmonary fibrosis. And I research. As soon as you tell me something, I'm going to look it up. And prognosis is not really good, and I don't like that. So I've made a decision that if it is that, I am not accepting the prognosis. I will make my own prognosis.
Yes.
I know
that is so important.
But
no, I'm right there with you.
Yes, because if anybody could do it, I mean, my friends the last 20 years saw them take 85% of my stomach. I almost died from an infection. They had to take 85% of my stomach out. And the breast cancer, and just one thing after another. But here I am, and I keep going.
So resilient.
Resilience is why I survived my first two husbands.
Wow.
I will send you a digital version of the book as a thank you for being here.
I would love that.
Hopefully you'll read it and then leave me a review, and then do another one, and then we can talk more, because you'll have my background. All right.
Great.
So I want to talk a little bit about chakras. Not too many people, well, a lot more people now, but not too many people know about chakras and like what they're about. I don't have enough time to talk about everything, but I thought maybe the first three.
Sure.
All right. So let's start with the first chakra, which I believe is in your head. Am I right?
Wrong. First one is the root.
See? Yeah. There you go. I had it wrong. Tell me about the root.
The root is all about the body and our connection to earth, our connection to our tribe or our family. It's really developing in that first 7 years of life. And it's very much connected to safety, stability, sustenance, these very primal core needs. Think like the base of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's very connected to survival.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a hierarchy thing. That's in my first book too. And I could not get past that first that first step because of my parents and my husband's and just being pushed out. But it's interesting when you're talking about safety and 7 years old, because something happened to me when I was five, and there was a family situation. I won't go get into it. But the solution at the time, my parents thought, was to put my brother and I in an orphanage for 5 days. Now, I was 5 years old. So I think that affected the route as far as safety. I did not feel safe with my own parents. So so this makes sense. So let's go to the second one.
And actually, you know what would be a really interesting pathway to take with this if you're open to it, is there's a very interesting way that the chakras play into how a woman's sexuality functions. And it would be kind of cool to speak to that, because it will touch on each chakra and how that energy moves in a way that most people don't understand, that I think can be a huge breakthrough for women to know about themselves.
All right, let's do that.
So male and female sexual energy flows in opposite directions. So for men, it flows from root to crown. And for women, it flows from crown to root. And so it has to pass through every chakra besides the root chakra to get to the sacral one, which is the sexuality chakra. And all seven chakras need to be nourished and activated in order for a woman to reach her full expression of her sexuality. Otherwise, she's either not going to enjoy sex as much, or she's going to experience pain, or she's going to have low libido, she's going to feel unsafe. Something is going to happen to block that full expression, because we are very full spectrum in the way that we need to feel safe and connected to have that full sexual experience. So it needs to go through the sexual energy for women has to travel through the crown, which is like our connection to the cosmos, to unity consciousness, to all that is. So some sort of like spiritual connection to her partner, to life. Then it needs to flow through the third eye, which is kind of that psychic and intellectual connection. She needs to feel like there's a level of understanding between her and her partner. She needs to feel seen. Then it has to flow through the throat, which is about feeling heard, feeling like she can express herself clearly. Then into the heart, which is about feeling met emotionally, feeling met in her heart, feeling safe in her emotional expression. And that's actually the biggest one for women, is feeling met in the heart to activate their sexual energy. Then it has to go to the solar plexus, which is all about self-worth and boundaries. Can she assert her boundaries? Can she speak for what she needs and what she doesn't want? Does she feel valued by her partner? Then it gets to the sacral chakra, which is about sexuality, creativity, and emotionality. So is she sexually connected to this person? Is she attracted to them? Is there actual sexual energy flowing there? And then that root chakra also needs to feel, she needs that sense of safety, that this person is not going to hurt her, that the environment is safe. Because even though the sexual energy doesn't have to flow through the root to get to the sacral, it can backflow at the root if the root is blocked, if there is not that safety. So for a woman, she needs all of those centers to feel activated in order to reach that full sexual expression. But a lot of women will skip over some of them because they'll say, oh, well, my partner is ready to go and I'm not, so I better hurry up and get there. Or maybe she has like self-worth issues and she's trying to put a bandaid on that by being sexually wanted by somebody. And so there's ways we can kind of skip over what we need, but then we're not going to have the most fulfilling experience. That makes sense.
Oh, it totally does. And you hit on a couple of points that went right to me. The throat and being heard. So I was not heard. So the first half of my life. And then I found my voice. Okay. And I started to be heard because I wrote 3 books. I have the podcast. I do speaking engagements and et cetera. I'm on, you know, YouTube. I'm all over the place. And all of a sudden, I lost my voice. Literally. And I was hoarse. I would get froggy. I was coughing all the time. And you know what happens when you have symptoms with your Eastern medicine doctors? They're going to treat the symptoms, you know. So at first it's ENT and ENT. Well, let's do a septoplasty and see if that helps you. It helped a little, you know. Then they looked at my throat and they said, "Oh, you have a bowing and you have some nodules. Let's send you to speech therapy." So I did speech therapy and it helped. Okay. So now they send me for another test and another test. And it was almost, it's funny because it started here and they were going downwards and downwards. Well, for about 6 months, I had been complaining about chest pain, but the chest pain was on my right side, so it couldn't be a heart attack. I went to several doctors and several different practices, and they each had a different answer. It was like, it's scar tissue from all your surgeries, or it's this syndrome thing, and it's whatever. I'm trying to make this really quick, but 2 weeks ago, I went to the hospital. I went to in an emergency room situation. My oxygen fell to a low level. I was sweating, chills, 101 degree fever, just like, what the heck? A
Wow.
virus hit me. I didn't know what happened. So long story short, they treated me in the ER. They were going to send me home. And my primary called and talked to the doctor, said, do a CAT scan of her chest. They did the CAT scan. They came in and said, you're going to the hospital because we found scarring on your lungs. And I was like, oh my God, it's like I finally found my voice, and it's like something or some power or whatever seems to be trying to take it away from me. That's how I felt, like spiritually. Okay. So now I'm
Sure.
going through that. So the chakra that's the throat, it's interesting to me with that experience, right?
Yeah,
About her.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have a plan. And everything I look up says, oh, after prognosis, it's 3 to 5 years. I'm like, oh, no. I need at least 10.
The
So
power of belief is so strong. It's
it
the most important thing.
is. Did you ever hear of Myrtle Fillmore? I don't know if you ever heard of her. Myrtle Fillmore, this is way back in the 20s or the 30s. She was supposed to die. I don't know if she had tuberculosis, but it was something that it was a terminal disease. And she just kept praying and praying and praying and praying. And she actually cured herself. And they wrote a book about the power of prayer and a whole movement called the Unity Movement, which is all over the world now. And there's a little booklet, you might see it somewhere, called The Daily Word. They put that out. But, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna believe and pray to whoever's listening, because I don't know. And that's where I'm at, you know. So considering I'm like in good spirits with the diagnosis, but that's what you have to do.
Sure.
It's related. I could see from my childhood on, like you were just saying, you know.
And all I really believe illness is always a messenger from the body trying to communicate to us, like something we need to be listening to, where we're out of alignment. And so for you know, if your voice was suppressed for so long, of course there's going to be issues of everything connected to the throat chakra. I've had similar things in my life as well. And it's the body's way of letting us know, hey, this part needs some extra TLC, some attention. And if we can get curious and give the body a chance to speak what it's trying to say, a lot of times the body can heal that way because it doesn't need to use symptoms to get our attention if we can heal that underlying root cause, which is
Yeah.
often energetic, emotional, spiritual.
Oh, I absolutely, I'm on the same page. And because they're the energy centers in our bodies. So if they're not working, it's like any other machine. If one part is not working, the whole machine's not going to work. I mean, it's going to throw you all off. So you work with a lot of people, right? And what kind of work do you do with them?
I do a lot of work around somatic awareness and listening to the body. So I call my work holistic sex and relationship coaching because we are made of sexual energy. It's woven into who we are and everything we do. I really don't think that issues of the bedroom can be isolated to the bedroom. They're always connected to something else, like our body image, our self-worth, our communication with our partner. You know, all of these things are interconnected. And we're in relationship with ourselves first and foremost, and that relationship branches out into the relationships with others. So I am always helping people really learn the language of their body and how to use the body as a map to the unconscious. So a lot of these unconscious holding patterns that we have that create glitches in our lives or glitches in our health can be traced through cultivating somatic awareness, through learning to listen to the body's language and really honor that. And that's how we free up our vitality, our energy, you know, what is often called chi or prana. It gets stuck if we're, you know, for example, not expressing our truth or not drawing our boundaries. These sorts of things start to block our energy and make it so that, you know, we're depressed or we feel cut off from a sense of passion or purpose or meaning, or we lose our libido. And so I'm kind of like a detective helping them look within themselves to find what is in the way of you living your most vital expressed life, you know?
Yeah, that sounds about right. So how about, what would you say about creative passion? Like, let's talk about that. Like someone that needs to work on that. What would you advise them?
It's very connected to sexual energy. Like I said earlier, sexual, creative, and emotional energy all live within the sacral. And so if one of those is repressed, it can often cause a repression in one of the other ones. And so when we feel sexual energy, it's often this feeling of something wants to be created. So the most obvious thing that we create with our sexual energy is children, but we can also channel that into all kinds of other types of creation. It's our creative life force. It's almost like our God self energy. It's that creator energy. So I think when that's stuck, oftentimes we're not giving space for our emotions to flow. A lot of, you know, so much creativity comes from the need to move emotion. Think about many of the songs that you've heard. They come from this outpouring of emotion, of something that's wanting to be expressed. And the only way to get it out is through this creative endeavor that helps us to move it. So I think if we can feel our emotions and channel them into some creative outlet, we're going to feel a lot more alive.
Yeah. So someone that wants to be creative and wants to bring something into the world and, you know, motivate other people or find their true authenticity, and then they get blocked. They're blocked. They don't exactly know how to do it. And you're talking about that part too, how they can get past that, right? And their personal thoughts, you know, some of the things they're doing does not support what they want.
Sure.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard a quote one time that I love. I don't know who said it, but it's creativity is giving yourself permission to make mistakes, and art is choosing which ones to keep. And I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind, to let creativity be playful and exploratory. What happens if I just follow this emotion and see where it takes me? And, you know, like, what am I feeling right now? And how does it want to be expressed? And I think that's the essence of creativity.
I think you're right. And also, sometimes there are signs from the universe and we ignore them, or we just walk past them and don't realize that it's actually the universe, spirit, something trying to give us a path. I met a 16-year-old boy at Christmas at a wedding, and he was very excited to meet me, you know, and I didn't know why, you know. Mm-hmm. And I introduced myself as, you know, my grandson's friends, my grandson's friend. And I introduced myself, and he said, "Oh, are you Condo Mimi?" which is the name I use on the internet, you know, on Instagram and everything. And I went, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Oh, can't believe this is happening." And I'm thinking, what the heck? So then my grandson came over and he said, excuse me, he said, "Nan, he's your biggest fan. He read your book, he bought your book, he read your book, and he follows you on Instagram." So I
That's
went,
so cute.
"Is that cute?" But it was a message, because my books, my podcast, everything is all about women. It's always about women, except my memoir, which had to be about a lot of people. And I went home and I was in the middle of writing a workbook geared towards women about healing from trauma and abuse. And I threw it out. And I started working on a workbook for any gender, not just women. And I changed. He inspired me. He inspired me to do that. So I wrote this book, and it's called Surviving Your Demons. And in the flyleaf, or whatever you want to call it, the dedication, I put, and thank you to so-and-so for giving me the spiritual, you know, a vision to write this book. So I really think that that was a divine intervention. Like, that was, you know, I mean,
I love that.
I was just blown away by it. I was blown away by
it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Happened in December, and by February, I was rewriting the book.
Wow.
So you have to listen to the universe and, you know, those voices, I think, because if you don't listen, you're going to get stuck. And that brings me to my next topic, which would be meditation and mindfulness. Now, those are things that I think would help people quite a bit. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I'm actually really a fan of embodiment practices related to meditation. So, you know, there's kind of the more masculine path of transcendence, of like sitting very still and going into that witness consciousness. And I think that has its own type of medicine. And the ones that I really like to work with are more about the embodiment practice of being really being with the body, working with the senses as pathways to awakening rather than seeing them as obstacles to it. And so things like movement practice, letting the breath really, really move you. And I have a beautiful practice around this that I call making love with life, that people can tune into through the show notes. But it's about really tapping into that vitality, that eros that is always moving through us, and really opening your whole system to let yourself be breathed by life. And I think it's such an incredible way to anchor into the present moment, to anchor into gratitude, to feel the aliveness of our bodies, and to give back to our bodies in a really nourishing way, where the mind gets to be quiet and we just get to let the body be nourished by the breath in a way that we often forget in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, I have done the breath meditations. I find them very, very relaxing and very useful. And sometimes I do the guided. And the silent one is the hardest one, but I try anyway. So, like, let me ask you, do you trust your insight, your intuition?
Yes.
Good answer. Because a lot of women don't. A lot of don't. And I mean, like, I made a lot of mistakes in the first half of my life, which, of course, again, bringing up the hierarchy, where I was at, I was a naive, ignorant person. I didn't know anything, and I was blocked from learning anything or experiencing anything for a long time, you know. So a lot of bad things had to happen for me to finally find my way. And now that's why I'm trying to help other women, so they don't have to go through 40 years of hell. You know. So what, like, where do you feel the most at peace when you're doing in your life? Like, where do you feel the most at peace?
I feel the most at peace. This is easier said than done. It's something I'm working on all the time, but when I let go of trying to control the way the currents are flowing, or when I stop trying to push the river along faster, when I can just allow myself to be carried by the currents, and I trust that they're taking me somewhere more aligned than what my little human mind could imagine, because our egos can attach to what we think is supposed to happen. We think we know what's best for us. And sometimes there's some crazy magical thing that is far more incredible than what we could imagine that's right around the corner. And we keep getting in the way of it happening because we're attached to the way we think it's supposed to go. And so my practice is, can I let go and soften and surrender and align with the Tao and let myself be carried by the currents and trust that they're taking me somewhere in alignment?
Yeah, I go through that a lot with things like it's denial. And then I get upset, I get angry about it. And then I have to get to acceptance and go with the flow and believe that it's going to take me somewhere good. So this was really great. So you can help men and women. You don't just work with women. Right.
Right. I actually specialized in working with men for a while, and now I work with men, women, and couples.
Very good. And you help them with self-discovery and well-being and sexual problems, things like that. Right.
Yeah. And really tapping into a sense of sacred sexuality where it gets to be this full spectrum experience of merging the sexual with the spiritual and getting to have this very multidimensional, beautiful experience with it. That's not just confined to the genitals, but is really, you know, moving through all the chakras like we talked about earlier.
Yeah. That sort of sounds like the Kama Sutra that has the different positions of things.
Sure. Yeah. I work through a tantric and a Taoist lens. So very like vast spiritual concepts that get poured into it.
Oh, that sounds great. So people can type in, what if they type in to find your website?
SarayaLeonara.com. And I believe that'll be in the show notes, right? Because it's a little bit of a tricky one to spell.
Yeah. Saraya.com. It's pretty easy. Okay. I'll put a link in too. Okay.
Perfect. And thank they can get my making.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. And that making love with life meditation practice that I told you about will be in the show notes as well. And then I also have a podcast called Nectar, Sex and Soul, if anyone wants to come hang out. But thank you so much for having me today, Mimi. This has been lovely.
Thank you. It has been. So email me those things and I'll put them on the notes and I make sure I get them right. And I hope that you'll come back again.
Because awesome. Thank you. I'd love to.
So much more we can talk about. We have so much in common. I can see that.
Absolutely. Yes. And I'm wishing you the best with your whole health journey. And I trust your resilience to power through any bullshit stories anyone wants to tell you about it.
Yeah, I'll do it my way. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
So much.
Thank you.
Saraya. And we will have you back again. And thank you for helping us, just giving us some ways to find our true self and be happy. Right?
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Okay. Remember, everybody, you're the only one that counts. Love yourself. Don't worry about anybody else loving you. You love you.